faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast, where we wrap up the week that was by counting down. This is a great tool to use on Saturday when you're bored and you miss talk radio and you're out doing your shopping. But it's also a great tool to use when you've kind of been busy for the week and you want to catch up on what really mattered. That's why I focus on not just the week that was, but things we've never seen before. It's insane that I can do this podcast every week. Let's dive in. Insane thing number 6.
It doesn't give me any great joy to be sitting in America and describing the really awful authoritarian situation that we have now sunk into.
That's Nigel Farage testifying before Congress this week. It's not often you see an MP, a member of parliament from the UK, who's also the head of a major party, in fact, the top polling party in the entire country, Nigel Farage, begging for help, begging Americans to save the West, which is very quickly slipping behind the kind of iron curtain we used to associate with the USSR. Among those who watch this week, I count myself as one of those, massive alarms as the name Graham Linneman trended again and again and again and again on X, the social media platform that is the beating heart of free speech and honestly freedom on Earth. On the planet. And exactly what I've been warning for a long time, if you listen to me, would happen, happened. The left got their legal precedent this week, and Graham Linneman was the perfect way to get it. He touched down at Heathrow and was greeted by 5 armed British cops. So Heathrow is obviously airport in the UK. He was arrested for tweets he wrote on X in America, where he would have been covered by the Constitution. He's a comedian and he's not a UK citizen. So you've got 2 things there. The attack on the Constitution, check. And the idea that the UK can arrest anyone anywhere they can get their hands on for violating their anti-free speech laws. This is the precedent they need to go to the next step, arresting right-wing Americans. Here's Farage testifying before Congress about this week. By the way, he was mocked by the Democrats, who would love to be able to extradite the entire conservative pundit class for trial in the UK. Or in France, where Donald Trump, Elon Musk, Riley Gaines are all under criminal investigation. Folks, I don't think Elon Musk could go to Europe. I think he'd end up in prison. I don't think we'd get him back. That's how serious this is.
And he put out some tweets months ago when he was in Arizona. And months later, he arrives at Heathrow Airport to be met by 5 armed police. 5 of them. And he was arrested and taken away for questioning. He's not even a British citizen. He's an Irish citizen. This could happen to any American man or woman that goes to Heathrow that has said things online that the British government and British police don't like. It is a potentially big threat to tech bosses, to many, many others.
Farage begged the West to save Europe, to save freedom, to save free speech, and to save ourselves. Because a time is coming when Trump isn't president anymore. And he is all that is standing between us and this hell that has consumed the rest of the Western world as it plunges into autocracy.
And you would be doing us and yourselves and all freedom-loving people a favor if your politicians and your businesses said to the British government, you've simply got this wrong. At what point did we become North Korea? Well, I think the Irish comedy writer found that out 2 days ago at Heathrow Airport. This is a genuinely worrying, concerning, and shocking situation.
Sorry about the buzzing there. That's actually the congressional microphones. They're so crappy in the testimony halls, but that audio was so important. I wanted you to hear it. But anyway, folks, everybody in the Western world was in horror, or we were told to be this week, watching Chairman Xi and Putin, and they're together, and wow, look at those big dictators, and they're joining forces, and, you know, at that summit with that creepy parade and display of military strength pointed at America, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they're our enemies, and they're authoritarian, and they're bad dudes. But his former Mumford & Son band member, Winston Marshall, said this week on Fox, it's getting harder and harder to distinguish them from Europe, a point I've been making for a long time.
We've had over 3,000 arrests for social media posts, and that compares to Russia, which has had about 400. But last year, when Sir Keir Starmer and his Labour government came to power, a moment I might note might be what America might look like had Kamala won last year. Things were bad already before Starmer came to power, but things got a whole lot worse. Last summer, there were riots, and in the aftermath, Starmer decided to push down and use his powers to encourage the arrest of people for tweeting. Lucy Connolly spent a long time in prison for a tweet.
By the way, here are two of the tweets Graham Linneman was arrested for. If a trans-identified male is in a female-only space, he is committing a violent, abusive act. Make a scene, call the cops, and if all else fails, he said to women, punch him in the balls. Another one talking about trans activists, men who force their way into women's spaces. I hate them, he wrote. Misogynists and homophobes, F them. He's referring to the big fight between lesbians who don't wish to be known as men in the UK and transgender men. It's pretty legendary. You can look it up. So Graham Linneman, by the way, is an LGBTQ supporter. That's the irony here. And he's saying transgender people do not belong under the LGBTQ rubric. This is just typical commentary you'd find on X. But now you go to prison for it in the UK. And believe me, this is not primarily aimed at the people of Europe. It's aimed at Americans and shutting down X. Insane thing number five. We're beginning to see the outlines, folks, of a massive international criminal network. I've told you for a long time that the Chinese Communist Party and the Democrat Party were merging. I've told you the cartels in the Democrat Party were merging. Well, we got to look behind the curtain this week at the massive criminal cabal that would rule us if we ever let up on them. Digging by Doge and Scott Bessent at the Treasury revealed something staggering. 137,153 money laundering reports submitted as required by law by American banks to the U.S. Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. What do all of these have in common? According to Bloomberg, there are Chinese networks laundering billions of dollars in drug and human trafficking cartel cash through the U.S. financial system. That is over the 4 years of the Biden presidency. Want to know how many of those were pursued criminally? Yeah, zero. Well, why not? Well, because Joe Biden's family was too busy illegally taking $30 million from China. Now, here's what's incredible. That money, 13% of it, was turned around and used in real estate transactions. They bought up farmland with it. They bought off commercial land with it. They bought up apartments with it. And yes, they even bought land around military installations. Folks, it makes so much sense, especially when you have this one other piece. Who is laundering this money? Glad you asked. Money laundering networks were linked to individual passport holders from the People's Republic of China. They're enabling cartels to poison Americans with fentanyl, conduct human trafficking, and wreak havoc among our communities across our great nation, said Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence John Hurley. Folks, this is a piece of a much bigger story. So many other stories. Like during the Obama administration, you remember, and also the Trump administration, we had almost no Chinese illegals make it in here because they were automatically turned around at the border and sent back. But then when Biden took office, remember, he lifted that and they began to be treated like everyone else. So you would show up at the border and it went from a couple dozen showing up at the border every month to 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, with mostly men, same haircuts, same couple of outfits, even same tattoos disappeared into the country. It all makes so much sense. Remember the scandal about 6 weeks ago? We're going to hear more about this because this is a big deal, where we found out that China was stealing the identities of tens of thousands of people on TikTok, creating licenses for those people that were indistinguishable from the real thing, and then shipping them into the country to be used ostensibly. That's what the whistleblower who went to the FBI said, ostensibly for voting fraud. specifically absentee ballot fraud. We caught a small tranche of those licenses, fake licenses, 19,000 of them. Customs and Border Patrol did as they were shipped through Chicago O'Hare. It was, again, just one shipment. Instead of investigating this election fraud, because they had multiple people blowing the whistle on it, they had the licenses, the FBI instead closed the investigation and scrubbed every trace of it off of their servers, off of their computers. Folks, it makes so much sense now. I mean, when you're talking about $312 billion in Chinese cartel cash laundered through America, they're protecting their networks. They're protecting. But this is where the 500,000 children went. Well, we'd get another glimpse at this network this week, folks, and it's insane thing number four, the largest ever methamphetamine bust. Judge Jeanine Pirro's office seized, are you ready for this? 700,000 pounds of precursor chemicals being sent from Shanghai, that's China, over the high seas to the Sinaloa cartel for assembly. And then shipment into the U.S. to kill, what, I guess another 250,000 Americans? Folks, we only lost 60-some thousand in the Vietnam War. Street value of this, about $500 million, $526 million. Again, the key part there, China was shipping them on the high seas to the Sinaloa cartel.
These 1,300 barrels were shipped from Shanghai, China to Mexico. We intercepted these precursors on the high seas, and now the Sinaloa cartel will not be able to use them to make methamphetamines. And the bottom line is this. Whenever there is an effort on the part of foreign terrorist organizations to create drugs that are killing Americans, we will seize them, whether it's on the high seas or whether it's in the country or a foreign country. And by the way, it's going to take 24 18-wheelers to take all of these containers and put them in a secure storage facility. And that's what we're doing in D.C., but we're doing it in Houston today. And you never know where we're going to be tomorrow.
Okay, now pull way back. What are we looking at here? You know what they're doing? They are watching this entire network from satellite. And here's what it looks like. Starts in China, goes to the cartels, whether that is the cartel that is the Socialist Party of Venezuela, Tren de Aragua. By the way, they're the biggest fentanyl traffickers. Or they're watching it go to Sinaloa. Then were they watching? They're watching these thugs make a beeline for America in these boats now because the border's closed. And where are the thugs going? They're hiding out in Democrat sanctuary cities to complete the pass. Starts in China, ends up in Democrat sanctuary cities. Folks, if you look at the 1,600 arrests that happened in D.C., 81 of those were wanted gang members. Most of them illegal immigrants, not all, some of them American in D.C. And you go through the gang members, and it was staggering this week. How many of those wanted gang members also had child sex abuse charges? Why? They traffic guns, drugs, and kids into this country for the profit of China. And I believe what's happening is the Democrat Party allows them to do this business so that they will bring the 12 million future voters that will result in a one-party system. China protects this system with the licenses I just mentioned, making sure that Democrats win through the absentee ballot fraud. Folks, do you remember, I'll never forget as long as I live, back in August of 2020, when Mark Zuckerberg and the owner, then owner of Twitter, both simultaneously warned that people wouldn't be allowed to question the election, but most specifically, they wouldn't be allowed to question absentee ballot fraud. You mean like what China was doing? See it all come together? And so look, Trump and his people have obviously traced these networks. They understand what I'm saying better even than most conservative pundits do. And so they are treating this as an act of war. They are getting in between these violent gangsters in China and the Democrats in their sanctuary cities. They're using the guise of crime to go into places like D.C. and round up the leaders of these networks. You round up the leaders, what do? They turn and you rip the networks out. What are you doing? You are ripping the cartels and China, the same criminal entity, and the Democrat Party apart. And the only way you could do that is you've got to invade their sanctuary cities. So instead of saying this to the public, what are they saying? Well, they're being more relatable. They're saying, well, you know, we're going to go in, we're going to get rid of crime, we're going to help you. But what they're really doing is reconquering American territory and ripping to shreds this integration, this network between Democrats, China, and the cartels. They are becoming the biggest criminal gang on earth, and they will do anything to stay in power. Take a listen to how Trump's deportation czar, Tom Homan, describes it.
President Trump designated these groups terrorist organizations. And why? Because they have killed more Americans than every terrorist organization in the world combined. Under Biden, 250,000 Americans died from fentanyl that came across that open border. So President Trump's right. They're terrorists, and we're going to take them out. They made record amounts of money under Biden smuggling aliens, sex trafficking women and children, and dope. And with a secure border, we're bankrupting them. Now we're going to attack them. We're going to play the away game. You know, we're tired of playing the home game. We're going to play the away game now. And President Trump is committed to ending the cartel violence in this country. And look, they're sending little cartels now in 42 countries across the globe. Again, their time in the United States is limited under President Trump.
42 countries. Folks, Sinaloa cartel, that's just a muscle. That's China. China. Again, Sinaloa is who they were shipping that record 700,000 pounds. Just methamphetamine precursor chemicals, too. Do you see the connection? When Trump blew up that Tren de Aragua boat, killing 11 in international waters, by the way, they are key to moving fentanyl into this country now for China and for Maduro out of Venezuela. When he blew up that boat, folks, that was the first shot in a war with China. That isn't going to look like any conventional war we've ever seen fought on Earth. Insane thing number three. The Democrats and Big Pharma go to war with science. For the last 50 years, folks, the gold standard, if you want to get a vaccine approved, you want to market it, you've got to do a study, and they usually run 7 to 14 years, double blind, and you've got to provide verified answers to two questions. Number one, is it effective? And number two, what are the side effects and what is the side effect rate? Every shot you put in your arm at the doctor has been through this process, except the mRNA vaccines that were approved by Congress under Operation Warp Speed, where, shockingly, you are the study, because there is no study. Congress provided the emergency use authorization that allowed these shot companies to simply bypass the usual process, and we'd collect the data later and figure out if it worked or killed anybody, whatever. Anyway, that data, you'll remember, began to stack up. And instead of the FDA patrolling the shot makers, who, folks, and keep in mind, we've had the basic vaccine technology for a long time. We know how it works. We've never used mRNA technology. That's terrifying. This would be terrifying if we created a new vaccine using the old technology. So all RFK Jr. is proposing here, very simple. End the emergency use authorization for COVID and apply the very same rules to the mRNA shots, the COVID shots, but also now the flu shots that are made with mRNA. Apply the same approval rules that we apply to every other vaccine. Again, double-blind studies, got to prove it's effective and also have to prove it's not dangerous. Yet Democrats and a few Republicans in the Senate went wild over this for some reason. Folks, that's literally why 1,000 employees, the Health and Human Services this week, anonymously signed that protest letter. They don't want science. And it's why they protested outside the building and demanded that RFK be fired. Now, think about this for a minute, or resign. Anthony Fauci's handling of the COVID virus and the COVID vaccine was so criminal that he required an actual criminal pardon from Joe Biden. A pardon, by the way, he could have turned down if he felt he did nothing wrong, but he accepted it. Practically admission of guilt. Did any of those senators grilling him this week demand Fauci resign? Oh, heck no. No, they like the criminal pharmaceutical model. In fact, the fact that Kennedy is not pursuing the criminal pharmaceutical model is actually their beef with him. Now, remember who these people actually are. When the FDA got sued for the COVID shot data, Pfizer got sued too, as well as the other shot makers, they all went to court together, including the government, to fight the Freedom of Information Act request for data on side effects and effectiveness. Data you normally have to turn over to the federal government just to get approved. And together in court, in lockstep, they requested the judge bar the public from seeing that data for 75 years. Whatever was in it was so bad, they had to give Fauci a criminal pardon. If this shot is so amazing, so wondrous, then wouldn't you want to broadcast that data? Folks, again, you can't resist the comparison to Fauci, who needed a full security detail to protect him from the families of the people he maimed and killed. And by the way, that's not an exaggeration. RFK yesterday, this is the most incredible part of that whole hearing, actually laid it out under oath. The fact that the COVID vaccine has harmed or killed more people than every other vaccine we've ever made or approved combined for 40 years. That's according to data reported to the VAERS early warning system launched by Congress 40 years ago to track side effects and deaths from shots. Kennedy references this here.
You know, there were more reports to VAERS, which is the only surveillance system that we have, of injuries and deaths from that vaccine than all vaccines put together in history. So we have to acknowledge that there was a cause. We acknowledge that there was a benefit. We can't quantify either one because of the data chaos at CDC. And that's all I'm saying. And they think I'm being evasive because I won't make a kind of a statement that's almost religious in nature. Did it save a million lives? Well, there's no data to support that. Or maybe data, you know, there's no study, that there's modeling studies, there's faulty data. I'm not going to sign on to something if I can't do it to a scientific certainty. It doesn't mean that I'm, you know, anti-vax. It just means I'm pro-science.
Insane thing number two. Keep a close eye on what's going on in Portland. The theory behind sanctuary cities, like Portland, was that the authorities there simply wouldn't cooperate with federal authorities when they're deporting illegal immigrants. That mainly happened around the jails when they had an illegal immigrant in custody. By federal law, they're supposed to turn them over to ICE, and they'd refuse and hide them from the, you know, ICE agents and let them go in the middle of the night so he'd have a good chance of getting away. I mean, you know, the skeezy stuff that Democrats do. In other words, sanctuary simply meant not cooperating. Well, there's a new definition of sanctuary forming, and it's terrifying. For almost 90 days now, black-clad liberal thugs have surrounded the ICE building in Portland. It's a federal building. Just for them to be able to come and go from work, they have to keep snipers permanently mounted on the roof, getting illegals and the vehicles carrying them in and out of the building for processing requires almost permanent activation of a SWAT team. Now, you'd kind of ask yourself, well, why are these people still there? I mean, why do they get to break the law? Well, they get to break the law because they're on a city street. The jurisdiction over that city street is the Portland Police. And you can call them as many times as you like, they're not coming. Even when these black-clad liberal protesters beat up regular civilians and blare sirens all night long in violation of noise ordinances. In other words, what you have here is a Marxist militia that has become above the law for one simple reason. They are at physical war with ICE. Folks, this is a terrifying new sanctuary development, one we haven't seen before except in L.A. Here's Fox News' reporting on it.
Every night it happens, Sandra, and you know, this is happening just outside of an ICE facility with hundreds of Portland residents living in apartments right across the street, and Portland police will not engage out of some fear that it will be perceived as helping ICE in violation of the sanctuary's law.
Oh my God. Turn the
And what makes this even more frustrating for residents is that Portland police won't respond to noise complaints or even when assaults are witnessed.
I'm calling about the protesters. They cornered two women out here. They need help. They cornered them. Please send the cops.
What we have here, folks, is exactly what developed in pre-Nazi Germany. Groups of thugs who are above the law because they serve a political purpose. Unprosecutable, with all laws ostensibly not applying to them. This is the next phase in the dual justice system I've warned about for so long.
Portland police have not made a single arrest since June 18th, despite a number of assaults. A protester hit one resident with a megaphone, then a fist. Despite the injuries, no arrest. One resident sued the city to force cops to enforce the laws, and this was uncovered during discovery. One officer telling another on the police radio, quote, "If it were not ICE, we could assist directly."
This is a full-on abdication of police duty in a four-block radius that impacts some of the most vulnerable Oregonians that we have. Now they've said, meh, we're just going to let violent rioters do this for 80 straight nights, and we don't care.
Police in Portland declined an interview but said in a statement, quote, "We take these concerns seriously. At the same time, we are committed to protecting individuals' rights to express themselves peacefully." Now, all of this is on top of three straight months of protests in 2020, and this rioting has really taken a toll on the city's reputation. There are so many vacancies in the city of Portland right now that it ranks next to last in good places to invest in the country, and they've lost the top 20 buildings for offices have lost 57% of their combined value in the last 5 years. $1.7 billion down the drain. Sandra?
All right, Dan Springer on that.
Insane thing number two. Say his name, if you're still allowed to. In Europe, it's Graham Linehan. And this week, we saw a line in the sand. I've been warning you for a long time, the ultimate goal of the international censorship system, almost identical to China's, that they're building the Western world, is to be able to extradite Americans for speech posted on American soil. Well, the international left got a step closer to that this week, creating the beginning of legal precedent for it. Here's why. Graham is a comedy writer, and he'd spent several months in America, in Arizona, where he posted on Twitter some very milquetoast things about transgender people, basically telling women to call the police if a transgender man, i.e. a real man who thinks he's a woman, goes into a woman's bathroom. Again, pretty milquetoast stuff. You'll find the equivalent of it in most comments on social media posts about transgenderism. It's typical Riley Gaines stuff. But it's no longer allowed in the UK. So Graham Linehan gets on a plane, flies to the UK, gets off at Heathrow, and finds five uniformed armed officers waiting for him. By the way, folks, most officers in the UK are not armed, so that's a big deal. They only reserve that for, like, terrorists. So it's a big deal to them. And now, here's what the rub is here. It's twofold. Number one, he said these things in America, where technically he's covered by the U.S. Constitution. And he's not a citizen of the UK. He's an Irish citizen. What are they doing? Asserting their right to arrest somebody, anybody, anywhere in the world the second that Donald Trump is gone. In fact, this absolutely was the plan. And I told you this before. We learned this after the election that Joe Biden's regime had been working with the very same group of people in the UK whose goal it was to extradite Americans for trial for speech violations of European rules. So this begins to get you to the legal precedent. The next step, of course, is to do it to an American. And folks, they're already setting that up. Riley Gaines is under investigation in France, criminal investigation. So is Donald Trump, and so is Elon Musk. Right now, technically, the same thing could happen to Musk if he touched down on European soil. Meaning the Western world, the footprint, it's shrinking. And we saw something we've never seen before. A member of the parliament and head of a major political party, the, by the way, by polling most popular political party in the UK, Nigel Farage, testifying before Congress this week, begging Congress to stop Europe before it's too late.
And he was arrested and taken away for questioning. He's not even a British citizen. He's an Irish citizen. This could happen to any American man or woman that goes to Heathrow that has said things online that the British government and British police don't like. It is a potentially big threat to tech bosses, to many, many others.
Folks, an iron curtain like the one that once surrounded Russia is descending upon the Western world. The last bastion of free speech on earth is in America. And that's only as long as Trump remains elected. After that, all bets are off. And we could be seeing what Nigel Farage said to Congress this week.
But it doesn't give me any great joy to be sitting in America and describing the really awful authoritarian situation that we have now sunk into.
Again, it's not just the UK. The criminal investigations against Musk, Gaines, Trump, and many others are currently going on in France. This is a European situation. Insane thing number one is what the left has been doing all week. The number one trend in terms of tweets online, hashtag Trump dead. The left is on death watch. In fact, was reporting as if true that Trump was dead because he went missing for about 5 days over the Labor Day weekend. He turned up on a golf course, laughed, and denied he was dead for now. But that hasn't stopped hashtag Trump dead from trending the rest of the week. The left has convinced themselves that he doesn't have much time left, that he's going to die any minute. And they, I think, correctly believe that if Trump goes, the Republicans will stop fighting again and things will go back to normal, or at least no one will fight like Trump is. I don't think they're wrong about that. The Trump fighting part, anyway. I mean, well, what is driving all of this? This is one of those rare instances where the right is kind of living in an echo chamber, in a vacuum, and is maybe not getting a lot of real news. Those instances are rare, but I think it's going on here. Let me tell you what started this with the left. Remember that weekend that the Euroweenies were in town after Trump did a straight 35-hour workday? That was when he, remember, met with Putin in Alaska. He was up for 35 straight hours. And Caroline Leavitt, his spokesperson, thought that was pretty cool, even mocking New York Times reporters who'd bothered to sleep on the plane. Not Trump. He's a Superman, man. 35 hours straight. And what was incredible about that stretch is that he gave an interview every hour to someone during it. He didn't sleep. Now, earlier this year, Trump was diagnosed with something called chronic venous insufficiency. It's a condition that causes swelling in the lower legs, and it's fairly common in people over 70, but it has, as everything else does, degrees. Now, the president is 79, the oldest U.S. president, when he was sworn in. And in the Oval Office photo of that weekend where the Euroweenies were here, he'd clearly been on his feet for a while. The left zeroed in on his ankles, and they weren't wrong to. Oh my gosh, they were totally swollen. Also attracting attention, the bruising on his hands. Here's from the viral email that got all this started. Swollen ankles, classic peripheral edema, often linked to heart failure. This is what they think. They think he's in the early stages of heart failure. Large bruises on his hands, likely from blood thinners usually prescribed after heart problems, visible fatigue and balance issues. I don't know that he has balanced issues. And they're saying the numbers don't lie. And this is right. You'll find this on Google. Best case, 5 to 8 years if meds keep him stable. But, and they're not wrong about this, if he's deep into heart failure, typical case, 2 to 4 years till he dies with recurring fluid buildup. He's already got that. That's their point. Worst case, 12 to 24 months if his heart is already in decompensation. And it says, looking at the photos, I'd bet he's in the middle stage, which means the clock is ticking fast. Now, twice in the last 2 weeks, Trump has talked about how he's doing this thing or that thing. One of them was the Ukraine war, trying to stop it, not because he needs to, but because he wants to get to heaven. He's not maybe lived the most moral life in the past with the cheating and stuff. And then J.D. Vance got the left really whooped up when on August 27th, he gave an interview to USA Today saying he was prepared to step into the presidency if a, quote, terrible tragedy, unquote, occurred. Well, emphasizing Trump is, of course, in excellent health. But what's really driving all this, and for once, the left's not wrong, the evidence of Trump's absolutely brutal schedule. The numerous times that his spokespeople have bragged. He sleeps 3 to 4 hours a night and often does full 24-hour jags. So, folks, I posted this online, and I got a lot of pushback for it, but I'm really serious about it. I'm going to continue emphasizing it. We desperately need his staff to help. He needs to be forced to take a day, a week off. This man has got to live, because as he goes, the Republic goes. He must slow down. So no more 7-day work weeks. Got to bust it down to 6. No more 35-hour work days and at least 6 hours of sleep a night. Okay, come on. Do at least 4. His staff has got to make this happen. He has got to reverse everything the Democrats did. If it stands as it is right now, or J.D. Vance takes the presidency and does not continue with the same zeal Trump does, I'm sorry, folks, we've still lost the country. I just don't trust anybody else right now, and I don't trust Vance yet either. He's well-spoken, but he's also on a very short leash. And this is a guy in the past that likened Trump to Hitler and sneered at him. Again, he's on a very short leash with Trump. He's a very talented politician, but I don't know what he would do if left to his own devices, and I don't want to find out.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.